But repetition breeds belief. And those beliefs or neural pathways are simply born from repetition. A fear is often just an idea or a thought that got stuck on the record player. And it can take time, but it's just like taking a stick to the sand. The more times you go over it, over it, and over it, the deeper that line becomes.
We are Gold Ivy. Our mission is to empower you to own and unleash your truth. Stories of resiliency are gold, and ivy grows in hard places. Those hard places are what create space for light to shine through. You decide what works for your daily life and how to transform our lessons into your gold. This is Ivy Unleashed, a Gold Ivy production. Welcome back to Ivy Unleashed. Today is a day like no other because we are talking about hypnotism.
Yes, we have Kat Shinoda on the podcast. Welcome to Ivy Unleashed.
Thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited to chat with you both today.
Kat is a hypnotist, a health coach, owner of Your Life Depot Hypnosis and Coaching. If you do not follow Kat on Instagram, you're doing yourself a disservice because her content is legit gold. I love the different mindsets. And so when you think about hypnotism, I know people, you might have whatever belief you have about it or feelings you have about it. We're going to get into it today. And it's very interesting. But Kat, you provide so much value Thank in your you. Content to help people as human beings, as parents, self-limiting beliefs, just a way to elevate how you feel as you're walking through your day. So I just want to thank you for the value you've already provided before we even get into it today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it is so inspiring. It's part of my story, which is to impact and influence and empower people. So thank you.
And you're so good at it. And the reason I say that is because, yes, I follow you, but I also had the pleasure of working with you. I did three sessions with Kat prior to recording, prior to the big event we had last week, which was beautiful timing. And the way it totally shifted my view on hypnotherapy and what the experience was like, I wish upon everyone listening that you get the experience to work with Kat. And you do. And we're going to talk today about what it was like and why it's not what you think.
Yes. But before we get into your experience, let's talk about what is hypnotism? What is this? What do you do? How'd you get into this? Give us the full story about how you got here and what it is exactly.
Yeah, happy to do so. If we go into the full story, we're actually going to start in middle school. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Take us back.
Take us back to the awkward time.
Yes, right? So in middle school, we had these service trips that we'd take to a local bakery. And the task that we were always given was wrapping up baked goods that hadn't been sold that day so that they could be given to a local homeless shelter. And it was there that I learned what it felt like to help people. It was a new feeling. It was something that I wanted to experience often. And at the same time, I was also an athlete. And I experienced something, you know, very similar, a little somewhat different, but a similar feeling when my head swim coach asked me to be a junior coach. And so I got to experience what it was like to lead others, to, you know, provide tips, to provide encouragement, to see, even if I wasn't the one swimming the race, that I had an influence on someone's performance, their growth, their success. And so it just made sense for me to find a career that matched those things. And that led me to health and well-being space, into health coaching, where I started as a health and wellness coach. And as a health coach, I got really inspired by the idea of taking a whole person approach to health, which as you know, is meaning that, you know, there's not one size fits all to health, that one area of our well-being is often connected to another, right? And so as I was coaching and as I was learning, I realized that at the core of what a lot of my clients were experiencing was, yes, this discrepancy between their goals and their behaviors, but also between their values. And so I really began to dive into this idea of mindfulness, inner healing, positive psychology, visioning. And so as I'm continuing to learn, as I'm continuing to help people, as many of us do in the field, when we work with clients, we're often healing the resonating wound within ourselves. And so that wound is kind of what led me to hypnosis. I was struggling with a horrible sense of self that led to a lot of self-sabotaging behaviors like addiction. It was impacting my physical health, my job, my relationships, my physical safety, and just my overall well-being. And at one point I was just like, gosh, I just wish I could get hypnotized to take this all away. And then I realized maybe that I could. So I reached out to a hypnotist, and the first time that I was hypnotized, I was inspired by the power of the subconscious mind, but also surprised at how much overlap there was with my work as a health coach. And I knew immediately that this was a tool that I wanted to both learn and offer to my clients, and people needed to know about the subconscious part of their mind. So it just made sense to marry the two and start a business and offer it in my private practice.
All right. I want to talk more about this addiction and how, like, did this work? How are you doing? Are you in recovery? And how did hypnotism kind of play into that?
Yeah. So I am in recovery. I had relationship obsessions. Some people call it a love addiction, but then also an addiction to alcohol. I've been sober for over 7 years now.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. And yeah, so did it work? I want to be clear, you know, I wouldn't claim hypnosis as a cure to addiction, but I would claim it as an incredible tool to help with the self-talk, mm-hmm. the life management skills that often lead people down the road to addiction. And so did it work? Absolutely. And here to own that and to spread the word about it.
That's yeah. awesome.
That's awesome. And when you say that, you know, your self-talk, really going into the subconscious. And for those listening who are kind of unfamiliar with what that is, will you speak on that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We could talk for hours about the self-conscious.
Let's do it.
So there are two parts of your mind. There's the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And you can think of our mind as kind of like an iceberg. What's visible above the surface of the water, that's our conscious mind. And our conscious mind, it's responsible for logical thinking, willpower, short-term memory, critical thinking. And then beneath the water's surface is the vastness of the iceberg, the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind makes up 95% of our brain function, right? It records everything that we've seen, touched, smelled, tasted, our senses. It has our feelings, our emotions, our fears, our memory. It's built on habituation. So it's where those neural pathways are, those thought patterns. It's always alert, always awake. And there's some other interesting, important things that we can talk about in detail, but it takes everything literally, mm-hmm. doesn't understand language. And it's really where all of our beliefs and values are held. And so often our conscious mind and our subconscious mind, they are working seamlessly together. So if I give you an example, Andrea, if you were being chased by a bear, what do you think your first thoughts would be?
Run.
Yeah. So you're thinking consciously, I need to run.
Yes.
Right. Meanwhile, your subconscious mind is bringing back that memory of the time you watched a viral YouTube video of a bear attack, right? Which amplifies, oh my gosh, I am scared. And that feeling of what your subconscious is bringing is then igniting your nervous system. Heart rate goes up, sweating occurs, muscle tension, so that you can run very fast, right? So again, those two are working together in that scenario, but sometimes those two parts of our mind are in conflict. So if we were to take the example of a fear of public speaking, consciously you're thinking and saying to yourself, I don't want to be afraid of the audience. I shouldn't be afraid. But meanwhile, your subconscious is surfacing the embarrassment you felt when all those years ago in third grade, you realized your zipper was down during your very first book report in front of the class. And anxiety takes over. And then in the future, you decline any opportunity to share your voice. And that's where the conflict is.
Dre, tell the people as fast as you can why Move with Gold Ivy is the last mind-body fitness program they'll ever have to buy, and how women are finally getting the transformation they're looking for.
I love a challenge. Let's go. Two big things. One, Move provides a fun atmosphere to work out in that actually gets you excited to show up and follow through with your goals. Not only is there an element of fun, but we've carefully curated a program that makes it as easy as possible for women to take care of themselves. And two, a Move membership addresses every aspect of your health, mind and body. Our Move members are getting the physical transformation they've been hoping for and feeling like they've finally found the group that motivates them on a daily basis. What did I miss?
As a Move member, you receive a weekly workout plan, weekly live or Zoom workouts, an on-demand workout library, transformational quarterly reset challenges,
monthly coaching calls, monthly masterminds with health experts, and a private group of motivated members for support and accountability.
It's ready for you when you're ready to boost your metabolism, confidence, and feel your absolute best. Join Move or learn more by clicking the link in the show notes, clicking the link in our bio on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, or by messaging us on any social channel at Gold Ivy Health Co.
It's your time. Move for your health, move for your confidence, move for your mental clarity. Move with Gold Ivy.
So you may have noticed that conscious mind and willpower can only get us so far. So what if we could disconnect the emotion from that memory in third grade? What doors would open if our subconscious, which used to serve as embarrassment, was actually now bringing feelings of confidence and empowerment? And so with hypnosis, that, you know, that's what we can do. We can actually experience this right now, which no hypnosis right now, but if we use the word imagine. So as soon as you use the word imagine, your subconscious actually begins to follow every instruction you give it. So check this out. If I tell you, imagine a time where you felt sadness, what happens? Your subconscious, it brings you feelings of darkness, of pain. It influences maybe your body posture. You may even notice right now your sympathetic nervous system is getting activated. You're sweating, your heart rate is increasing, tears are coming to your eyes. But now, if I tell you, imagine you're living a life of abundance. Imagine you're surrounded by people that love you, that support you. Imagine that you are welcoming in peace and calm and strength. Immediately, your body feels better. And so this is just a small example of the power of our subconscious mind, of tapping into what those memories are held, where those emotions are held, and how just through our words, we can access those things and impact how we feel and how our body behaves.
That is powerful. And, you know, to tie that to public speaking, it's kind of like you can paint this picture for someone. You can kind of step into their brain and paint this picture and then get them to feel what you're saying, right? And as you're doing that, I'm like, I did. I felt my body sink and then I felt my body raise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting. Words are so powerful. And I'm curious from what you're saying, the power of affirmations, right? Because I've heard so many different things about it and I've tried it. And I'm thinking about, okay, if I'm saying these affirmations, am I trying to convince my subconscious that I am these things and that I, you know, can you fake it till you make it? Or am I helping my subconscious believe this? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, you know, awareness is the first thing, and that awareness happens in your conscious mind. But what is really required is, you know, for us to create neural pathways. And again, a neural pathway is the brain's way of encoding learned behaviors and habits. In essence, it's like the mental highways, right? That shape our behavior. It's a thought pattern. And so, you know, when it comes to creating new neural pathways, we can do that consciously with practice over and over again. But our subconscious is more receptive when the conscious mind is distracted. So it's not to say that these affirmations don't work. Absolutely. They're really powerful. And what we're trying to do is create a new neural pathway. Now, remember, I mentioned that the subconscious mind is built on habituation. And so when we repeat things over and over again, it becomes glued into our mind. And so, you know, if we think about these beliefs, if we're trying to take an affirmation, in hypnosis, we call them suggestions, right? But if we're trying to take a suggestion, an affirmation, a mantra, and we are trying to embed it and turn it into a belief. Remember, any belief you have, whether it's a fear, whether it's a positive thing in your life or what you were trying to attain, a belief is simply a thought that you have had over and over again. And so we can use that to our advantage. So it's not really faking it till you make it. It's more of using the power of the subconscious mind, just as we did, just to experience feeling good, right? To find that evidence of, yes, you are attracting abundance. Yes, you can breathe through all emotions. Yes, you can stand on stage confidently and share your voice, which is so powerful. So that is really how it works, is actually through brain science, creating new neural pathways.
Yeah. And something I'm thinking of is, so when I did my first session with Kat, we came up with this affirmation, this suggestion of what really spoke to me and how I wanted to feel after these three sessions with Kat. And it was, I allow abundance to find me and I am at peace. And something you recommended was when I'm first saying this to myself is starting with, I like the idea of, until it feels real, because your body and your mind will be like, nah, nah, not yet. So can you kind of speak on that? Because I feel like that's really powerful here of don't fake it till you make it. Be careful of the language you're using.
Yep, absolutely. You know, one of the very first hurdles that someone might have when making a change, and Brooke, I'm curious if you had a little bit of this experience, and you know, this is especially if it's something that you've been stuck on for a while, is self-doubt. So, you know, when we say, so if I'm working with someone on, you know, public speaking, and their suggestion or their mantra is, I am confident and on stage, and the world needs to hear what I have to offer. Self-doubt often will come in and say, yeah, no, you don't. Yeah, that's not true, right? And so to combat that, to turn the volume down on that self-doubt, what we can do is simply add a few words ahead of it. Is, I like the idea. It's easy for me to be on stage. Or I like the idea that I attract abundance in my life and I feel free. And so what that does is turns down the volume of that self-doubt. Self-doubt can't bash an idea.
Yeah.
Was that your experience, Brooke? I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, when I would say I like the idea of, like, that's not a lie. I like the idea of, I allow abundance to find me. Like, hell yeah, I'm at peace. Yes. I like that idea. Yes. So it was easier for me to not only say it, but to feel it, right? For it to really resonate with me.
Mm-hmm. I love this so much. I'm thinking like you're the marathon training coach and you're setting up a training plan for Brooke and you're not going to throw her into the marathon. You're going to ease her in with this lighter training to convince herself, I could do a mile. I like the idea. Do I like the idea of running a marathon? Yeah, I'm going to run a mile. Like, to me, it's like, that makes perfect sense. And it also makes sense to have a coach to help you change your beliefs, which is like the most powerful thing on the planet. How you're talking to yourself all day long. And, you know, with the subconscious, maybe while you sleep.
Yes.
I'm curious about that because Brooke and I, you know, we play with everything. And one of our meditations, we do.
We did it last week in Vegas. It's just, I am successful in all different, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not inclinations, but where she like uses, she enunciates.
Inflections.
Yeah. I am successful. I am successful. We just fall asleep to it.
Success. Yeah. It's so... I'm curious about, you know, because there's a lot of people that say while you sleep, because the subconscious is still awake. It's always awake. Can we play things while we sleep? And should we, if we really want to get after knocking down these self-limiting beliefs?
I won't say don't do that, right? But I would be concerned about if it would interrupt the quality of your sleep. You know, hypnosis is not sleep. But we do actually go into a state of hypnosis just before we fall asleep and just as we're waking up. And that's important because when our conscious mind, right, is distracted, our subconscious mind comes to the surface and is an incredibly receptive to what you tell it. It is incredibly receptive to new ideas, sensitive to helpful thoughts and things that you hear. So perhaps if your alarm clock was replaced by these positive affirmations, these suggestions, I would definitely be all about it. Is it possible for while we are sleeping to be playing these things and could it have an impact? I actually don't know the answer to that. We'd have to do some research, maybe a fun experiment, social experiment. But when I give my clients homework, which is self-hypnosis, and Brooke can speak to this, one of the best times to do it is just as you're waking up and also just as you're falling asleep because of that brainwave state that we enter.
Yeah, and that's the times that I did it. It's also easy to remember it. It's the last thing I want to think before I go to bed. It's the first thing I want to think when I wake up. And for so long, when I would wake up, it would just be full of anxiety of what do I have to get done? I know I've mapped out this morning routine, but I'm still overcome by anxiety. And so when I knew, okay, this is the first thing I have to say, it almost had a calming effect and it sets the tone for your day.
Absolutely.
Also, same thing before bed. It sets the tone of, okay, I'm at peace. These thoughts, they can go away. This is not what I want to think. I'm not ruminating on all the things I have to get done, kind of end of the day, and getting in that habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. So what we've talked about so far is more like, this is to up level your life, change your beliefs, shift something. I'm curious about like the
process.
The process, yes, but also thinking of people like with like these phobias that they want to get over, right? Whether it's like a phobia of certain foods, or for me, sharks, for people that are trying to quit smoking or to quit like their sugar addiction. Let's say, well, I need that one too. And I know specifically someone that's worked with you on sugar addiction. And I feel like for those people that are like, this is something I just haven't been able to overcome, like this phobia or this pattern. How does that work as far as like changing the way that you eat? Let's use that one as an example, maybe.
Sure. You know, something when I went through my hypnosis training, one of the things that really surprised me was the concept of how fears are overcome. You know, it can be easy to think about, you know, when we all first learned to ride a bike, actually, I just made an assumption. Do you both know how to ride a bike?
Yes.
When we all first learned how to ride a bike, it was scary. We were afraid of falling. Maybe we even did fall at one point and get a scraped knee. Mm-hmm. It was scary to think about removing the training wheels. But then at some point we did gain confidence. And so my question is, where did that fear go? You know, if you wanted the fear back, you could probably make it happen, but we don't want that, do we? You know, so what is surprising is how pushing fears into the periphery can actually be overcome with some conscious effort. So, you know, with this fear, what was the fear that you mentioned? Or the
sharks.
The goal that you mentioned?
Well, the sharks is my fear and the addiction is sugar.
Okay, right. So our beliefs, right? I need to stop the sugar. The sugar, you know, I shouldn't be having this, right? Our beliefs influence our thoughts, our feelings, and behaviors. And like I had mentioned before, a belief is simply a thought that you've had over and over again. And so, and this is really important with the applications of this concept to these different things and behaviors that we are trying to overcome, is that, you know, the subconscious mind, it will do everything that you tell it to do, but it won't understand language. So if I give you an example, right? And for our listeners, please don't do this while you are driving or standing, because I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. If you close your eyes, right? And on the count of three, you're going to follow my instructions. One, two, three. Don't think about a red apple. Don't think about a blue car. Don't think about a pink elephant. And you can open your eyes. And what happened?
You thought of all those things.
Right. And so what do you think happens when you're in front of a candy bar, Andrea, and you say, I don't want that. I don't need this.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't taste good. Right. The subconscious doesn't understand the word don't. It doesn't understand language. You thought of all those things. So when a client comes to me for these things, what we do is, and Brooke experienced this, we co-create something based off of the outcome that we want. And so this is what we are implanting into our mind. So I want to eat healthy. I am eating healthy. I eat balanced things and I feel confident, right? Those are the goals that we are focusing on. And so instead of implanting, I'm not going to eat sugar, I'm not going to be afraid of sharks anymore, right? We are focusing on, I am confident in the water and know with certainty that it will all be okay, right? And so these are the thoughts that we want to implant into our subconscious as neural pathways. When it comes to those thoughts, though, they can be really sticky, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because of familiarity. You know, the familiar feels good. It even gives us a dopamine kick, right? And so, you know, a great way to think about this is, and how kind of hypnosis can help, is if you, do you all eat gluten?
I do.
We don't in our house. You do.
No. Okay.
We don't in our
Andrea
house.
Andrea does.
My kids have celiac. So Andrea, when you go into the grocery store and you're getting a loaf of bread, mm-hmm. you see all these different brands. Where do you go in the grocery store? Right.
I look for that green label that says oat nut that I've bought 1,000 times. Sick.
Right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You have so many options. You have so many options, but you always go to the same brand. Mm-hmm. You know exactly where it is in the aisle too, yep. I'm sure, right? Mm-hmm. It's a neural pathway. Mm-hmm. And so how would you feel, Andrea, if the grocery store changed the location?
Inconvenienced.
I would be like, how dare you?
Right? You get this jolt of, whoa, this is different. But then you might see a different part of the grocery store that you never noticed before, right? Then you'd eventually, though, get used to it as a new neural pathway, as a new pattern. And so this can be applied to what we are working with when it comes to removing it, you know, moving on from a sugar addiction, overcoming a fear of sharks, is just moving around the bread a little bit. I actually do this with my kids when they have nightmares. I cannot hypnotize children. Otherwise, our house would be spotless. I do this with the kids in terms of moving the furniture a little bit or moving the bread into a different aisle is when they have nightmares. This actually happened a couple of weeks ago. My 10-year-old recently found out from a friend that the zombie apocalypse is real.
Oh, no.
And that it is coming.
Oh, Lord.
What she was told. Yes, oh. Right? So a couple of weeks ago, she had a nightmare. She came in the middle of the night, she was crying. And once she calmed down, she told me it was about zombies. And so we talked about it. She told me what happened in that dream. And I said, wouldn't it be funny if the zombies were all wearing diapers? She got this little smirk, right? And I said, and what if all those zombies wearing diapers were starting to listen to Taylor Swift's Shake It Off? She smiled a little bit more. And I said, and what if those zombies, if they were carrying a big bunch of balloons? And she smiled and she said, yeah. And if they were all wearing party hats? I said, yes. And so in essence, something that she was terrified of, all of a sudden she was smiling, even though she had just had a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we can do with phobias, right? Not that you would want to befriend a shark, Andrea.
No.
Okay. But that it would be just an ambivalence to it. And then with the sugar, it's not something that now has power over me, but it is just a candy bar and I can move around it and choose a healthier option instead. Mm-hmm. So again, these are the types of kind of things that we can do with our subconscious, whether it is repeating those thoughts or whether it is disconnecting the emotion mm-hmm. from something that used to hold a lot of power over us.
Yeah, it's what meaning do you want to give that, right? That experience yeah. or that idea. So it's almost like the language plus the meaning equals freedom or whatever, fill in the blank that you're after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And focusing on that outcome that we want.
Mm-hmm. What do you want? I find myself when I coach my clients, same thing of stop focusing on what we don't want, right? Mm-hmm. We're not giving that attention because what you give attention, you're yes. going to get more of. Mm-hmm. And so what is this new outcome that you're after? And it is what it does in the brain when that's how you're speaking and that's what you're focusing on. It's so powerful. And the more we catch that language we use, I feel like Andrew and I, with both of us, we're beautiful at that. Andrew more than me of her correcting me. Like, no, we don't. I say broke. And she's like, no, we don't say that. I say, yes, I'm in a financial transition. I feel so much better.
Yes, absolutely.
The power of, yeah, the power of language and catching yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think, Kat, with my experience with you, it was all about the self-talk and the meaning. And it wasn't, you know, a big misconception when I think people think of hypnotism is I'm not going to remember, or you think of you bring in this hypnotist to this event, some lucky people get called to the stage, they act a fool, and then they don't remember it. So let's take some time to debunk the myths for anyone yeah. listening. I feel like we kind of already have, but you know, when you compare the two, let's speak to why that's wrong.
It's all wrong. So there is a lot of mysticism around the idea of hypnosis. Like you mentioned, you know, I think it was in my college orientation, they brought in mm-hmm. a hypnotist, and like all of my, you know, all the first year students, all the freshmen are doing silly things on stage, right? And, you know, if you've seen the movie Jungle Book, right? The snake that does the hypnotism to Mowgli, right? And so sometimes it's easier to understand what hypnosis is by first learning what it isn't. You know, a hypnotist can never make you do anything against your moral will or judgment. If under hypnosis, Brooke, I had asked you to rob a bank, I'm going to guess you wouldn't, unless that's part of your goal, right?
She keeps calling right? herself broke. I mean, maybe
she'll I'll stay broke if it means I fear jail more than
good.
Debt.
Okay.
There we go, right? So you'll never do anything against your moral will or judgment. And you are awake and a participant in the whole experience. Brooke, were there times where maybe you felt yourself drift in and out, but do you feel like you were able to recall a lot of the experiences that we had together?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely, right? And I think another big concern people have is this idea that they can get stuck, and you can't get stuck in hypnosis. And the thing is I believe that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, meaning that I may be guiding you through an experience. I may be assisting you in distracting the conscious part of your mind, but you are the only one that can bring yourself to these different levels of awareness. You are the only one that can see what you are seeing, hear what you are hearing. And so in that essence, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. And the only people that can be hypnotized are the people that want to be. So if you don't think it will work, you're absolutely right. It won't. So it's not manipulation. It's not for the weak-minded. I can never make you reveal any secrets. And you're completely aware of the experience the entire time.
Yeah, for me, it just felt like a very deep meditative state. I was so relaxed. And what Kat does in the beginning is she guides you into this relaxation, kind of like progressive muscle relaxation, where full body and the mind can really focus, right? So as Kat's guiding me through different scenarios where I'm tapping into my inner wisdom of, you know, for example, one was I'm relaxing on a beach and I see these pebbles and what do these pebbles say? And so the first thing that comes to my mind, I trust that. Like that's my intuition. One was I'm looking at a movie screen. I'm in a theater and it's playing out a scenario of how I want it to play out and who's in the audience. And so this deep visualization where I'm so relaxed and I can see things so clearly, different memories can resurface that maybe I didn't want to resurface. And then when they do, I can view them in a different angle, a different vantage point that feels safe and give that a new meaning, right? A first memory of feeling rejected or fear. Okay, what is that new meaning?
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every episode of Ivy Unleashed is dedicated to empowering you to take ownership of your health. And what it really comes down to is prioritizing your mental health. We've both seen the beauty and growth that therapy can bring and are thrilled to partner with BetterHelp to allow you the opportunity to feel heard and seen by a professional. The National Alliance on Mental Health reports that 155 million people live in a designated mental health professional shortage area, and BetterHelp is working to close that gap.
I've personally used BetterHelp and loved it because it was all online, making it super convenient. The biggest piece for me was how affordable it is. I was able to choose the therapist that met my needs. I came in with wanting to work on childhood trauma and anxiety, and it was unbelievable to see how many options I had with all the different backgrounds of therapists.
With BetterHelp, you have access to a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness, and sometimes we can't see our own patterns and behaviors until we talk them out and get an unbiased perspective.
It's really nice to have someone who doesn't know you and has the professional background to help you thrive in your daily life. It has made the world of a difference with every relationship in my life, including the one with myself.
To get started, all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire about your needs and preferences and choose your therapist out of the options they give you. You can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. Also, you can switch therapists at no additional charge until you find the right fit for you.
The best investment you can make is in yourself. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/goldivy. That's betterhelp.com/goldivy.
Take the first step to inner peace and freedom today. And now back to the show.
And something really beautiful that happened was my current self is meeting my three-year-old self. And what am I telling her? And shrinking her into a little, you know, grain of sand and then putting her in my heart, which sounds so silly. But being able to always just put my hand on my heart and be like, okay, I got us. You know, that fear comes up and I'm like, this little three-year-old, she's nervous. Before we gave a speech last week, I'm kind of shitting my pants. And I'm like, but I'm doing it for us. And she's so proud of me. And I can tap back into this visualization I had with Kat of how excited and proud and this relationship. And so this is me trying to put in words what
you're doing a great job.
An incredible experience was like. And I can only imagine it's so different for everyone. But Absolutely. It was freeing. It was a confidence booster. And it was me at peace with a future I want to build. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you were there in Vegas, you shared a story on Instagram. And I think Andrea was recording it. And in addition, I didn't know that you were visiting your three-year-old self. But in addition, you had some self-talk. You said, I was born for this. And I was like, yes, like that, that self-talk that we have out loud and also, you know, the narrative that we have, you know, inside. And then also, you know, those images of, you know, and knowing that our child, our inner child is that our younger selves are always with us. You know, it adds to this, you know, empowerment and this confidence and this ability to move through things that used to bring pain. But now we realize that it's just a memory. It's something that is something we used to do, right? And we can now move through it and move forward.
Wow, what meaningful work. I mean, when you think of just what you explained, a lot of our clients, they don't feel like they know themselves in the season of life, right? So they're hiring a coach to figure out like, what do I want? And how I know I need to feel better. Let's do something. But I feel like this is really understanding and connecting to how I want to feel, right? And what has happened in my life and what is going to surface that's kind of holding me back or these fears or beliefs, where are they coming from? So it's like you're better understanding yourself from where you were. And then if there is something you want to shift, you're like being held by someone that is, you know, carefully leading you through this exercise so that you can have this life that matches how you want to feel and carries that three-year-old self with you. Like that's so powerful. And we have to acknowledge that little girl, little boy, you know, we have to, because that's what makes us who we are and how we interact with the world. So if we can take something that really holds us back, still carry it, but in a way that's like, I got you. Like that is so powerful. Instead of fighting that, you're like carrying it with you. Like, this is still affecting me, but in a different way. And I'm in charge of what my future looks like. That is so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, it does feel similar. Hypnosis does feel similar to meditation. Would you agree?
Yeah, totally.
There is a difference though. You know, with meditation, the focus is actually meant to be fully present on the current moment, right? And it's a practice that is ongoing, right? With hypnosis, the purpose is actually to distract you from the present, to distract your conscious mind from the present so that your subconscious mind comes to the surface. And so that it can then, you know, as again, when the conscious mind is distracted, our subconscious is very receptive to these new ideas. And, you know, Andrew, you mentioned something really important in terms of like, you know, this vision of not knowing who we are. And I feel like a lot of people are walking around in life, not knowing who they are other than their attachment to other people or job, right? Like I'm a mom. They'll say, I'm a mom. I'm a sister, I'm a brother, I'm a son, you know, I'm an employee, right? And so it sounds like, you know, we're very aligned in terms of our coaching, and what we do is digging deeper and creating a deep knowing of who they are, what their core values are. And we can use that also in hypnosis to really ingrain, I know myself as wise, I know myself as confident, I know myself as influential and having an impact, right? And remember, our beliefs impact how we feel, and our feelings impact our behaviors. And so that's really what's at the core of it, and why that work of values is so important, why I'm constantly talking about it, and then also how it can be incorporated into my work as a hypnotist.
Yeah. You mentioned attachment, and it reminds me, in one of my sessions, I said to Kat, I feel like I have a lot of anger of certain situations that I didn't choose, right? To be in medical debt and to be fighting to take back my health, should. And when I said should, Kat said should means attachment. What are you attached to? So will you kind of speak on that? Because I feel like that was something really powerful that I was able to reshift that narrative and let go.
Yeah. I mean, when we think about, you know, attachment. And, you know, it's really examining at the core. It's not an attachment to the money itself. It's about that attachment to what it means to us, to that, you know, that meaning and that belief. You know, if I am unhealthy, what does that mean about me as a person, right? And then what does that mean about what I have to offer? And so it's really about remembering who we are at the core, right? And allowing ourselves, this attachment to outcome can really dictate, well, I have to fix myself and I have to be healed in order for me to help others, right? And so that's not what it's about. It's really about embracing and walking in the path of who you are and redefining, you know, what this attachment used to have in your life. Well, actually, you know, you're really attached to being helpful, being a leader, being kind to both your body and to others, right? And so again, with when we're thinking about these ideas, these beliefs, these neural pathways, these thought patterns, that's really what we're looking to do is to choose our beliefs, which what a lot of people don't think we can do, but you can choose your beliefs and identify, you know, what is going to best serve you and let go of what's no longer serving you.
I love that. And I'm thinking of our, our audience, our, you know, and everybody is constantly in transition into a new identity or stepping into a new, like, oh, motherhood and like, who am I now? And, or I'm in this new role, or am I happy here? Or your relationship, it evolves. And I just feel like we lose ourselves. The world's so noisy and we're so busy and we're staring at everybody else's life online that it's like, this is such a beautiful way to quiet everything else. It's like I feel like this hypnosis with the cat would be like the ultimate form of self-care of like quieting what everybody else is saying, doing.
You know what it's like? It's like coming home to yourself.
Yes.
Coming home and liking that home. You know, because a lot of people might not like what home is. What is your emotional home? Is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it worry? But when your emotional home is peace and confidence and love, you know, these are some things that you have control over. And through hypnosis, you're working on those things.
Yeah.
Kat, I'm curious, what can we, because you mentioned self-hypnotism. This is a real tough word for me, I'm learning. What are some tools and techniques that people can use at home on themselves? What can we do?
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the first things that may be important for us to clarify is that, you know, hypnosis is something that we experience every day. It is just a naturally occurring state of mind of focused attention. And so, you know, I had mentioned that, you know, hypnosis isn't sleep, but we do go into a, you know, type of hypnosis just as we're falling asleep and just as we're waking up. But there are a lot of other examples of when we hypnotize ourselves. You know, perhaps you've experienced this before where you're driving from point A to point B and you don't remember what occurred in between, right? That's a form of hypnosis. And so what's happening there in those situations is that our conscious mind is distracted from the present moment while our subconscious mind safely controls the car, knows where to turn based on memory. The subconscious is your internal autopilot. And so when we are in hypnosis, whether you're with me or whether you are doing it on your own, you know, we are trying to reprogram that internal autopilot. And so some of the tools that I have found helpful, the first word is just the word imagine. You know, as soon as you use the word imagine, like I had mentioned, the subconscious will follow your instructions, right? And it will, you know, again, follow everything that you say. So when you are doing your self-hypnosis, simply starting the word with the word imagine and beginning to daydream about your goals, beginning to almost test drive your goals and experience what it would be like. That is one of the best ways to experience self-hypnosis, but then also to reinforce what you were trying to do, which is to, again, create that neural pathway through repetition, experience what it feels like to live an abundant life, to be free of, you know, phobias, to feel confident, to experience calm and relief from anxiety. So I would definitely say that one of the best tools is to start with, you know, using that word imagine and then test driving your goals and what you would like to feel like and be like.
I love that. It's like those wonder walks. Like Brooke and I will go on these walks. Jen Gottlieb talked about this, where it's like you're allowing yourself while you're moving, you're outside. So that you're like already supercharged, right? And it's already like elevating and giving you a higher vibration. And then you allow yourself to feel what you want to feel and imagine, which I'm so curious why we don't allow ourselves to daydream more, right? As kids, we do it so much. And then it feels like silly as an adult, but it's like, why not? You can reshape your life. You can transform, you can reinvent yourself. You can, I don't want to say start over because I think that overwhelms people, but you can imagine anything in your brain and feel it in your body. It's like, let's tap into this some more.
I think the meaning that you're attaching to daydream needs to be, this is productive, this is good for me, this is self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting that you brought up daydream. Let me show you something that's on my desk.
Oh gosh, it's going to say daydream.
No, this is a picture of me at age 6.
With a cape. Right,
look, I'm playing pretend. How old are your kids, Andrea?
11, 8, and 6.
Oh my gosh. And so I'm sure they play pretend all the time, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a picture of me, age 6. I'm like a superhero. I am in it, right? You know, because, and so I'm sure with your kids too, right? And just as we remember as kids, when we are playing pretend, when we are daydreaming, when we are imagining, doesn't it feel just for a moment, didn't it feel like we were the superhero? We were the secret spy, the princesses on, you know, horses, et cetera, because your subconscious is bringing all those things forward. Mm-hmm. And we are able to achieve things when we have defined them, when we have begun to experience them. And so daydreaming is not something, unfortunately, is something that we stop as adults, mm-hmm. but it's such an effective tool mm-hmm. to encouraging our subconscious to bring forward these beliefs, this confidence, this inspiration, this flow, right? Our creative flow that can allow us to just launch towards into our goals.
Yeah. And I think once we understand and fully believe that our subconscious can't tell the difference between real or imagined, and that 95% of these things are in control because our subconscious is in control of these things, like that's powerful. And I'm imagining people starting to use these tools. I'm imagining people going to follow you, mm-hmm. signing up to work with you. And so where can these people find you so that they can imagine this and make it real?
Absolutely. So on Instagram, you can find me at Your Life Depot. That's my handle. And then going to my website at www.yourlifedepot.com is where folks can find me.
I love it. I love it so much. All right, Kat, as you know, we always leave our listeners with 3 gold stars, your 3 takeaways you'd like to offer our listeners.
Yeah. So number one is that hypnosis does have a lot of mysticism, but it is a 100% natural state of mind and that we've been in and out of regularly. And, you know, one of the most effective ways that we can do self-hypnosis and experience this is, again, to test drive your goals. You know, I think just a great example of this is if you've bought a car before, right? And you're doing the research on the make, the model, the trim, right? And, you know, you're trying to figure out what dealership you're going to go to. And then all of a sudden you start to see the car on the road more at this intersection, at that parking lot. There aren't actually more of that car. It's just that you planted an idea in your mind, right? You did all this focusing on it, and now you're seeing it pop up in your life. And the same thing can work with our goals. By focusing, by daydreaming, by experiencing our goals, your subconscious will begin to find the data and proof of, yes, we can do this. We will do this. We are doing this. That would definitely be number one. I think number two is a little bit of brain science here, neuroplasticity, or our brain's ability to both learn and unlearn. You know, this is on your side. And so those beliefs that we have shape our reality. Those beliefs influence our thoughts influence our feelings and our behaviors. And beliefs can be changed. And doing so, it takes the conscious effort and repetition, but repetition breeds belief. And those beliefs or neuropathways are simply born from repetition. A fear is often just an idea or a thought that got stuck on the record player. And it can take time, but it's just like taking a stick to the sand. The more times you go over it, over it, and over it, the deeper that line becomes. So again, that's, you know, would be my second one, is that neuroplasticity, your ability to learn and unlearn on your side. The third thing that I would say is with self-talk. We had talked a little bit about the power of our words and how powerful they are. You know, the subconscious is a whiteboard. And, you know, if you wrote hateful things on a whiteboard, that whiteboard wouldn't be defensive. If you wrote false facts on a whiteboard, that whiteboard wouldn't question you. And your subconscious is like a whiteboard. It doesn't know the difference between fiction and reality. And that's why self-talk, degrading self-talk, is dangerous, and why positive self-talk, encouraging self-talk, is so powerful. When you say, I'm an idiot, I can't do anything right, your subconscious is simply going to say, okay, that's what you are. And it'll give you all the proof and the feelings and the emotions and memories of those falsehoods. And so when your self-talk is aligned with your values, who you are, you say, I'm okay, I can do this. Brooke, when you say to your three-year-old self, we've got this, I've got you, your subconscious is going to send you all the proof that supports that. Mm-hmm. So again, that would be my third one, is just being mindful of our self-talk. And that's not a passive task. It is a conscious task, being consciously aware and consciously changing your self-talk.
Man, those are powerful. Cat! This
teased me up perfectly for our next segment, Unleashing Ivy.
Yes.
My question is, when your self-doubt pops in, because, right, this is something that we all deal with every season of life, every day maybe, but for you specifically, when that ego comes out and the self-doubt, how do you tame that? What does your self-talk look like? What is your practices? What do you have that helps? Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like to think that I am my therapist. I'm her funniest client. I like to often deflect with a little bit of humor, and I'll probably talk about this with my therapist. Anyways, but I'm sure maybe some of your listeners have heard this before, where naming your self-doubt or your anxiety, actually giving your anxiety a name. And my anxiety, my self-doubt, her name's Janice. And recently,
sorry to any Janice is listening.
Yeah, no, Janice. Yes.
Love you, Janice.
She used to be Bertha, but now she's Bertha. Janice. So, but recently I have been using corporate lingo with Janice. So I will say, per my last email, Janice, your feedback is not necessary, right? Thanks for your contribution, Janice. Or, you know, bravo, you really tried to go for that low-hanging fruit, right? So just using some corporate lingo, but some humor, right? Because what that does for me personally is it de-escalates. It allows me to realize it's just it's a silly voice, and it's not my voice. Mm. It didn't start with me. It's someone else. It's someone, something outside of me that, you know, it's not true. You know, our thoughts are not always facts, right? And we don't have to follow every single one. So I'm sorry, Janice, but we're just going to have to let you go.
I love that. That's great.
That's amazing.
I think of a name for mine. I love it. All right. My question is about parenting. You have twin girls. What are their, 10?
Eight. I have 8-year-old twins and a 10-year-old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. And so you, as a parent to that age of children, if you were to give someone some advice on promoting positive self-talk in kids or beliefs in kids, helping them believe in themselves or have like a growth mindset, what would you say to someone that maybe has like a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and as they age, like kind of something that's helped you be that positive influence in your kid's life?
So there's a couple things that are coming to mind. I think the first one is to continue to let them play, right? Encourage that creativity, that imagination. you know, and just allow that to flow. I think it's so interesting, you know, kids, although for me personally, I don't work with children and they can be difficult to hypnotize. You know, they are also just very in tune with their intuition. And so encouraging that through imaginative play, through daydreaming, through joy, right, is definitely something that I would, advice that I would give. And the second thing is just around emotion management. Let them express what they're expressing. You know, if they're having a tantrum, it is very hard for us as adults to experience that because we don't see adults in the workplace or, you know, elsewhere throwing tantrums. But all humans, we do have the need to throw tantrums, even as adults. And so it's unfair of us to expect that a child will throw a tantrum in the way that we might throw a tantrum. And so again, when we are doing that, when we are encouraging them to release that, you are actually implanting ideas and thoughts into their mind that my feelings are safe. If you allow them to express themselves, they will learn that my feelings are safe. I can be safe. And also that they can express their true selves when you are with them. So I would definitely say that, you know, what we're doing there in that example is when you are allowing these things, you are actually supporting the beliefs that your children are creating in their subconscious mind. That play is fun, that dreaming is good, that there are all different types of way to be creative when it comes to imagination and daydreaming. And then with emotions, my emotions are safe. I can be safe and express my authentic self around you. And so that would be my recommendation to other parents.
I love those. Thank you. That's great advice.
So good. Okay, last question, Kat. If you could go back and tell younger Kat one thing, what age would you go back to and what would you tell her?
Ooh, a couple ages are popping up for me right now, but I would say I'd go back to 6-year-old me, who, by the way, goes by Catherine. And she, Catherine has bangs straight across her forehead. I think it was in that picture I showed you. All right. And I would say, Catherine, choose your own path. People are going to tell you who you can and cannot love. People are going to shame you for your emotions. People are going to say that you should get this job and not that job. People are going to tell you that God should be feared, but you can choose your own path. You can choose your own beliefs. And you can choose a path of loving who you love, of embracing the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, as loving and forgiving, that you are authentically you. And I'd also tell her that you are a girl that owns herself. That people may say that you are someone's daughter, you are someone's sister, that you are someone's employee, but you own yourself. You are wise. You are responsible. You are loved. Your authentic self needn't be hidden because you own yourself.
Damn, so, Kat. Yeah, woo! That was so beautiful. Wow. I'm so happy that we had this time with you. And I feel bad for anybody that didn't get to the end of this episode because that is what every little girl needs to hear. Every person needs to hear, really. That is so beautiful. I'm going to play that for my kids because I want to instill that in them, you know, but I think they can't hear it enough from enough people. Wow. That hit a chord. Woo!
Just take a minute.
Yeah.
She's magical. We knew it. She delivered. Yes. I love it.
Kat,
love
your presence you. Is, it's hard to put in words, but you just feel like such a safe person to just talk with, to learn from, to hold space for us, for my emotions I'm having right now. I think they're coming out because I feel so, I mean, I cry all the time, but I feel really safe with you. And I hope anybody that's looking for that safe place, therapy is great. But this is another thing I like to say about having a coach is that you can go back to those moments. But now, too, I think when you work with someone like Kat, it's going to move you forward into something that feels true and lively for you now in your life. So you're not just staying stuck in the past. And that was such a great example of where you were and where you are now, you know, as a parent that's instilling these values in your kids and living it. Just so beautiful. I hope you're proud of yourself. You're so proud of like talking to that little girl and now doing it for your girls too. And so I'm so grateful for you. I'm so happy we had this time with you. I'm so happy everybody gets to hear about you and hopefully work with you too.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. And yes, I will say I am proud of myself, and we need to normalize that, normalize being proud and sharing our voices and having an influence. And so thank you. Thank you for giving me the platform and the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for being you. Kat, we leave our listeners with a piece of gold, a quote that speaks to you. Will you please share yours?
Yes. Go pursue joy.
This is Gold Ivy signing off.
Listen to your truth and go chase your gold.
We want to thank you and encourage you to celebrate yourself for taking the time to learn and get inspired in your one beautiful life. And if this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to help support our mission to keep bringing you inspiring stories and guests.
First, following the podcast is important because it helps you never miss an episode. To do this, just go to the Ivy Unleashed podcast show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and then just tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow.
While you're there, if you'd be so kind to give us a 5-star rating and review and share your favorite episode with a friend, we'd be so grateful for your support.
We are thrilled you're here and are so happy that you're taking time to prioritize your wellness, self-discovery, and growth with us.